Hello, everyone. We're going to start the second talk for the Package Manager Dev Room. My name is Zach Steinler, and we're going to talk about the current state of attestations in programming language ecosystems. So first, we're going to talk about the two attestation types that these ecosystems have been adopting over the past 3 years or so. We're going to go through a tour of the different package repositories and how you can get this information from them to use in your own security incident response. Most of these implementations are very similar, but there's also a few differences to call out. And then we're going to talk a little bit about sort of like the near-term future and the longer-term future with attestations. What are the sort of like next steps and what sort of future direction are we looking at here? Okay, so first of all, we're going to talk about build provenance. As far as I know, this is a net new capability, security capability across ecosystems, and it provides a very easy way for us to connect a package with a specific hash to the exact source code, build instructions, and build logs in a non-falsifiable way. So this is really a tremendous tool that we can use for instant response. You have some binary on disk, and you're like, where the heck did this come from? What's the source code? How is it built? Can I go and look in that for malicious behavior? Almost all of the ecosystems are using Salsa build provenance. So the specification for it can be found on the salsa.dev website. And then the other attestation we're going to be talking about today is release attestations. This is more recent, and so it goes by a couple of different names. Several ecosystems call these publish attestations. But this is what we traditionally think of as the job of a package repository. We're mapping a specific package name, a specific version string, and we want to know exactly what packages we should be expecting with the hash so that we know that they weren't tampered with. I do a lot of work in the NPM ecosystem. There's a one-to-one mapping. If you have a package name and a version string, it's just a single package. But many other ecosystems provide the ability to have several packages. Maybe you're building for the very popular Doors 11 ecosystem. Release attestations doesn't require a one-to-one mapping. It can be a one-to-many mapping, as many different artifacts as you want. This release attestation is defined by the Intoto project. We'll see that some ecosystems have their own definition for publish or release attestations. But if you are looking to use this in the future, I would really recommend using the Intoto attestation predicate type here. And if you follow that URL, there's sort of like details on the specification and implementation, that sort of thing. All the must, shoulds, and nice to haves. Okay, so these two attestation types, they're like different, but they're also very linked. So if you put them together, you can follow this sort of really interesting chain of information. First, you could say, okay, I want to know this package name, this version string, what should it contain? I get back a list of hashes. You can take those hashes and feed them into build provenance and then get back the exact source code and build logs for them. So, you know, these are like very similar, sometimes confusingly similar. But really, the two of these capabilities are meant to link together and sort of provide you this trail of evidence that you can follow to figure out how a given package was built. So I thought it was really funny that Adam was talking about an attack on PyPI. I'm also going to talk about an attack on PyPI. This is not at all to throw shade at PyPI. The reason why we keep bringing it up is because they do a really excellent job of writing blog posts with incident response and talking about not only the attack, but the mitigations that took place. So Adam was talking about an attack in 2025. This attack was in late 2024 against a package called Ultralytics. Version 8.3.40 was a normal release, and it had this build provenance information. And then the community noticed that on the source control platform, someone made a pull request, and the name of the branch for the pull request looked like it was an injection attack. And sure enough, when they went to PyPI, there were two new versions of this package published, version 41 and 42. It still had build provenance, but it also included malicious code. And the community was able to determine that quickly because of the build provenance information. They were able to look at the source code. They were able to look at the build logs and the build instructions and find that malicious behavior. So then the community, this package was able to regain access to the package in the source control. But during the attack, the attackers also exfiltrated the PyPI API keys. So then versions 43 and 44 were published directly with those exfiltrated API keys. So it did not have a build provenance. And so it's important to note here that just because a package has build provenance doesn't mean it's secure. Or if it doesn't have build provenance, it doesn't mean it's not secure. All we're providing here are links to source code and build instructions. You still have to follow those links and make your own sort of like security decision. However, it is very suspicious when a package is using build provenance and then stops. I would call that a yellow flag. So again, I'm not saying it's, you know, bad or malicious, but that's definitely a signal that is worth following up. And so then after the maintainers reestablished control both in their source management and also in PyPI, they published version 45, which did not contain that malicious behavior. So this is an example of why build provenance is useful in an attack to do incident response and why we've seen it be adopted in so many different ecosystems. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about build provenance works, and that will make the examples of how to get this information in ecosystems make a lot more sense. So this is really winding back the clock, at least from a technology perspective. 5 whole years ago, many build systems started adding this concept of a signed workload identity so that during your build process, you can request this. Usually it's in like an OIDC token, and then that OIDC token contains all of the build provenance properties we care about, the source code, build instructions, et cetera. So our goal is to transform the signed OIDC token, and we want to have that information available when we sign our package. And then the signature is in a X509 certificate, and so we'll go in the extensions, and we have a couple of OIDs for build provenance, and we just sort of map the information from the OIDC token, and we put it into the signing certificate. So then we have this information available with the signature that travels along with the package. There's an open source project called SigStore. It contains both implementation of a number of clients in different programming languages, as well as a public good service, which has multiple parts. There's a full CO, and that will exchange the OIDC token and create for you the signing certificate. There's also a transparency log we'll touch on briefly, but the main component we're going to focus on here is full CO, which is sort of like doing this translation. So of course, it needs to contact the workload identity provider, make sure that the signature verifies correctly, and then it can return to your build this signing certificate, which then the build can further distribute. And so you send your package along with your signing certificate to the package manager, just like you would normally. One last slide before we start diving into what this looks like in different ecosystems. So like I mentioned before, there's a couple of different components to SigStore. Mostly we're going to be dealing with the signing certificate because that's where the build provenance lives. But there's a couple of other items in here. There's a transparency log that's to allow folks to monitor both that their identity is being used for signing when they expect, and also to ensure the trustworthy operation of the SigStore public good instance. And then at the bottom of the bundle, you can either have a plain signature over your build, or you can have an attestation. So this is a JSON document with some metadata that you want to communicate along with the signature. And we'll see what that looks like in a second. And then it's also really important to note that you should not just download a SigStore bundle and trust it. You need to verify that the bundle hasn't been tampered with. You need to verify that the bundle refers to the build that you're expecting. So we're going to come back to the Maven Central ecosystem, but here we're downloading a specific jar file. We're downloading the associated SigStore bundle, and then Cosign is the SigStore CLI that folks use to verify content. And so in all the slides, I'm not going to show the verification process, just how to, you know, access the provenance information. We should make sure that you're using Cosign to verify any SigStore bundles before you start trusting the content that's inside of them. There's a couple of really great blogs from SigStore about what this process looks like, to verify bundles specifically, and then also like in general what you should think about if you're going to build a system that relies on six-store bundles. Okay, we are finally ready to dive into the various ecosystems. I do a little bit of work with NPM, so that's where I started. NPM chose to implement a new API endpoint, the attestations API. And so here I'm querying that for the Semver package at a specific version. There's going to be a lot of JQ on the next slides. Sorry, not sorry. But you know, this data is sort of like nested deeply inside of it. As we'll see in a second, NPM has support both for Salsa provenance as well as publish attestations. And so the first JQ is saying we want to take all the attestations NPM returns, and we specifically want to select provenance. And then the second JQ is diving into that six-store bundle, looking at the signing certificate, getting the raw bytes, and passing that to OpenSSL. And then, of course, you can see here we have information about exactly what platform this package was built on, what repository, the specific source commit. Also, there would be build information if I had more room on the slide. But this is an example of how to get build provenance information from the NPM ecosystem. Instead of using release attestations, NPM uses publish attestations. This is for the very good reason that it was implemented before release attestations existed. It was sort of a precursor to release attestations. This is almost the exact same query, except instead of looking for the build provenance this time, I'm looking for the NPM publish attestation. And it has the exact same information as a release attestation, the perl of the package, and the exact hash that it uses. As we're going to talk about more, publish attestations and release attestations are kind of in a weird state currently. NPM, I think, is the only ecosystem that exposes information. And part of the reason is because we're not exactly sure how people are going to consume this. It's really worth noting here that the history of security, especially software security, is filled with people proposing like, you know, ways to sign things, but they don't always talk about like how is it verified. And so this information is being distributed, but for example, the NPM CLI doesn't currently consume it. And so you can certainly go on the transparency log of Sigstore and see this information being published. You can get it directly from the registry, but it's not yet being consumed, which is something that would be a good thing for us as ecosystems to figure out in the near future. Next up is PyPI. I'm not gonna go through this in as much detail, just kind of note the similarities and the differences. One of the main similarities is that it's using a separate API to expose this information via the provenance URL. Otherwise, it's exactly the same. You grab the certificate, pass it through OpenSSL, you can see exactly where this package came from. And then, PyPI collects information for a published attestation, and I think it actually submits it to the public transparency log. I'm 95% sure, but it doesn't serve it out. And again, this is because that ecosystem wants to wait to sort of like understand who and when this information would be used. And so currently, the CLIs that are frequently used to access information from PyPI don't use this information. But if you're curious as to the format of that attestation, even though it's not currently being served via an API, you can see what the format of it looks like there. RubyGems has some pluses and minuses. Again, like the other two ecosystems, it has its own attestation API. There is a little bit of a speed bump, though, in that the information that it serves out isn't formatted correctly. The good news here is that it could be. But there's a bug currently. Marty, I think I sent you this before, so hopefully you're not learning about this just now. But essentially, instead of the certificate raw bytes, it's taking the PEM encoding of the certificate, Base64 encoding it again, and that's what it's serving out. So if this is an interesting topic to you, if you're looking for sort of like a small project to maybe dip your toe in, this would be an interesting issue to follow up on. And if this was changed, then you could verify it with six-store tooling. Last but not least in our tour of ecosystems is Maven Central. They made a different implementation decision, which I think is interesting. It's totally fine. And so instead of having a separate attestation API, they're just serving the six store bundle alongside the content of the package. This really illustrates that in these conversations that we're having across ecosystems, the goal here isn't like 100% alignment, lockstep, everyone implements it the same way. We're all seeking to serve the same goals, right? We want transparency in our things that are built. We want the registry to be consistent about what packages it's serving. The specific implementation details don't necessarily matter here. But once you pull it down, it's just the same pattern as before. Pass it through OpenSSL, and you can parse out the build properties. So where do we go from here? I think that probably the next step that needs the most clarification is, like, what are we doing with these release attestations? Or maybe that's even the wrong way to phrase the problem. Taking a further step back, how do we want to protect the index of package repositories? It's really, really bad if an attacker accesses the data store for these package repositories and modifies them and says, oh, no, the package didn't have hash 123, it had hash 456, whatever my malicious version is that I'm serving out. So somehow we know that we need to better protect these indices. There's a couple of different approaches that folks are taking. For example, the way that NPM is signing content, it actually provisioned sort of a durable public-private key pair and got the public key as a trusted delegate inside of Six Store's verification material. It was an interesting experiment. I would not encourage anyone else to follow that path, because then if you need to rotate your key material, you have to like coordinate with this like third-party open source project. It was a little clunky. PyPI did this in a more elegant way with a sister capability called Trusted Publishing. So here again, they use that signed OIDC token, the workload identity, but they use it to make it so you don't need an API key in order to publish to PyPI. Instead, you set up a trust relationship and you say, if my build's coming from this platform, this repository, and this known build workflow, you can trust it. I don't even need an API key to authenticate. That's a really powerful property, and it allows them to construct publish attestations using Six Store when they receive that signed OIDC token. And then in the OpenSSF, there's another project that's taking a completely different approach. So instead of publishing attestation per package, they are signing the entire package index periodically and then publishing that information, I think like multiple times per day on the order of like several hours. The only sort of like downside or limitation here is that no one has deployed this to production yet. I believe it's being used in dev in some of the package repository ecosystems. So, you know, in summary, there's like this really cool new security capability, build provenance, that I hope people go and check out. We still don't know exactly how to protect the indices of package repositories. There's a couple of interesting experiments that are ongoing, but we don't yet have a definitive answer of what we think this should look like. Thanks.
We have time for some questions.
Cool. Wonderful.
Just make sure you repeat your question. We haven't got any microphone.
Yes, happy to. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
I guess.
Yes. So I mentioned a couple of times that build.
Oh,
sorry. Yes, yes. The question was build provenance includes build logs, but many platforms do not persist those build logs more than like 14 days. And it seems like a security incident later, you might want to know what was in those build logs for a critical build. Full disclosure, I work at GitHub. I think that you are right, that we need a way to store these build logs more accurately. I'm not prepared to commit publicly on GitHub's behalf when this might be addressed, but it is something that we are aware of and talking of internally, and I hope that soon there might be more information.
Awesome, thanks. questions? Great. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.